we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like saving the world one soundbite at a time. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. That's the text line. Text it or call it, same number for both. I'd like to get your feedback on the Israel situation. So the monologue, yeah, I definitely covered how I feel about it, but I'll just tell you, the discussion we're going to have with General Joe Arbuckle coming up later is also an important factor in that overall discussion. I'm looking forward to hear what he has to say about it. Jeff from Indiana texted in. He says, I think it's high time the right needs to form an Antifa group since we actually know what the definition of fascism is unlike the leftist group that calls these itself anti-fascist when they're the biggest fascist group in the world. I would agree with that. TL from Huntsville says, Phil, very much needed monologue. Psalm 122:6, pray for the peace in Jerusalem. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I got a caller on the line. Is that Sparky? Yeah, I'll do that. Sparky from Harvest. How you doing, brother?
Hey, Phil, real good. Great, great monologue. I'm a huge supporter of Israel.
Thank you, man.
Got friends over there. When I was reading about the attacks or all the inbound projectiles to Israel the other evening, I went, poured all the fresh gasoline I had into the generator. Me and the wife ran and filled all our gas cans, made sure the vehicles were full. Cause I pictured the grid going down. I pictured some sleeper cells taking advantage of the mayhem and shutting down as much of the U.S. grid as they could. And luckily I was wrong, but I was astounded the next few days to realize people didn't even know that it even happened. And that yeah. absolutely blew my mind.
No, I'm in the same camp as you. I told Charlene, I think it was Sunday morning, because the attacks happened on Saturday, I believe. And on Sunday morning, we were talking about it and watching some of the news follow up. And I said, why do I feel like I need to go and check my ammunition supply and that things are in the right order, you know? And I said, it feels like something bigger. And I'll be honest with you, I think it's got the ability to become something bigger. But the truth is, while Iran may have been embarrassed by their fecklessness and the way they didn't accomplish anything they tried, the fact is they tried.
Yeah, and you were correct. They're absolutely emboldened by our bought and sold compromised elderly Alzheimer's patient. Sorry excuse for a president who's handed to them, given them billions of dollars, and all but invited Iran to do this kind of thing, knowing that they would never get a spanking from us. And I'm ready for more mean tweets and strength and fear on the part of other wrongdoers around the world of our U.S. president, because that does not exist right now.
No, I totally agree. Thanks, Park. Appreciate you, man. Have a great day.
Bye, man.
Yeah, one more text. And Sparky's so right. I am so ready for a change. So ready. JT Lacey Springs said, so sad that just over a generation ago when the Shah led the country, they were an ally. And Biden has seemed to be nothing but a manure salesman. And when speaking, if he has a mouthful of samples. JT, man, you got away with words. All right, listen, we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. And coming up next, we're going to jump in for the kids, just for the kids. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like, whew, way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. A couple more texts real quick. Jeff from Town Creek. He says, Phil, spot on with the monologue. I need you to ask Sparky if he'll tell us what he really thinks of President Biden next time he's on the radio. Tongue in cheek, he says. He says, I disagree with you guys about one thing, though. I think they intentionally did this to probe the defenses of Israel, and they're probing the world community to see how the rest of us react to what's happening, and it appears to me that no one is getting in their face about it. We're going to see more. It's just a matter of time as they calculate what it's going to take to get there to achieve what they're doing, what they're going for, which is to wipe Israel off the map. I don't normally say stuff like this to people, especially in public, but we already know the outcome. The victory is ours. Yes, it is. And by the way, Jeff, I think you make a great point. And I said this weekend on a tweet that the first salvo that we saw may well have been to try and degrade or to probe Israel's capability for defenses. I will also say they're being mocked right now. I've seen videos circulating on social media in the Middle East of, you know, basically mocking Iran's capabilities. For those of y'all that don't know, and I'm not going to, this is all part of my later segment, so I just want to say it real quick. But for those of y'all that don't know, Iran launched over 400 ballistic missiles and drones, and then land attack missiles, and 400, and they launched them at major metropolitan centers. The vast majority of them, over 99% of them, were taken out before they even reached Israel's border. It was a combination of massive capabilities that the Israelis have with their David sling and arrow anti-aircraft systems. Iron Dome is amazing. But they took out the vast majority of them. But even Jordan was ticked. How dare Iran launch missiles over Jordan's airspace trying to get to Israel? That's a violation of their airspace and their own safety. So Jordan took out some of them. And then we had U.S. attack aircraft in the area that also took out some of them. So it was a smackdown. But the fact that they did it at all is a big part of what's happening here. Alice from Huntsville says, why would anyone listen to Biden, especially Bibi? That's a great question. And by the way, I don't know that anyone is listening to Biden. Keep in mind, over the last several days, Joe Biden, Antony Blinken, our Secretary of State, our Secretary of Defense, and I believe John Kelly, the National Security Council's spokesperson, all four of them, when asked at a press conference, because Iran was kind of telegraphing something was happening, when asked at a telegraph conference, what do they have to say to Iran, they had one word. You can tell it was calculated. Don't. Guess what? They did. Like, your don't didn't mean squat to them. So the bad guys, it's like they kind of laughed and went, hold my beer, and they just did it anyway. So truth be told, no one, good and bad, is listening to the Biden administration right now, and that's a problem for us. It's embarrassing for us as Americans. It's embarrassing for us to know what a strength we have in our country and where we were just a few years ago. I don't care if you like Trump. Some of you out there that are either A, never Trumpers, or B, you are just anti anything Republican or conservative, let me ask you this. Do you think for a second that the Middle East was or was not safer 4 years ago than it is right now? Do you think that the Abraham Accords were actually working? Some would say yes. Do you think it was important that Iran was smacked down and was also suffering under its inability to supersede sanctions? Yes. Do you think that Iran was lacking in capabilities that it now has that it didn't have then? The answer is yes. Do you think that Iran was launching attacks on Israel back then? The answer is no. It's amazing how much has happened in just 4 years. Last text, and I'll jump topics. John from Huntsville says, Phil, awesome monologue. Sorry I missed your entire show Friday, but I was sitting in the ER. Oh, no. In the ER waiting room for about 5 hours because my dad was having some extreme back pains that need to get checked out. John, I hope things are well, brother. Blessings on you. Blessings on you and on your dad. And I pray that all is well. And let us know, man. Glad you're back. All right, we're going to jump topics. Dipper number one is called For the Kids. For the kids, when we do things and we say it's for the kids, there's no shame in that. There's hardly anything you can ask. I can't read lips right now, brother. What are you doing? Not right now. I'm working on a different topic. But the reality is, thank you. We have a caller. He was asking me, do you want to take a caller at the back on the old topic? But I'm already jumping topics, so I appreciate it. No, for the kids. There is an absolute need for society to recognize that the most defenseless among us not only need, but they require our support and our protection. There's a reason why we have laws in place that don't let minors do certain things. Number one, they're A, more susceptible. Number two, they require more defending. And number three, they don't make mature decisions, generally speaking. And at some point we have to say, okay, we got to call him an adult now. And in Alabama, the age of majority is 19. But think about it. Kid can't join the military without parental consent until 18. Kid can't have a beer until 21. Kid can't buy cigarettes, can't even get a Costco card. All these things are important. You can't vote. You know, there's so much that's in place that requires you to reach a certain age. And that's not rocket science. It's not. That is well-reasoned, and that is good intentions. That is as it should be. That is scriptural if you get down to it. I mean, Jesus himself said, suffer unto me the little children. Yes, he did. But then he also said, you who would that would bring temptation, like putting a millstone around your neck and being cast into the sea. I'm just going to say, I believe that common sense and faith and just good order and discipline of a culture protects children. You can look back through history and you can find the societies that did not protect children. And you can also question where they are now. But there's a reason why we protect kids. And there's a need for it. It's because culture so often sees a victim potential and they want that victim. There are predators in every society. There always have been. And the good guys protect the weak and the defenseless from the predators. You've heard the old saying, and I believe it's true, there are sheep and sheepdogs. I prefer that we have a sheepdog mentality, especially when it comes to kids. And so when we look at what's going on in and around and amongst us, in an age in which child porn is running rampant, in which drag queens believe that it's okay for them to be quote-unquote role models to children and you know, and dance provocatively and have so-called family-friendly events, when hospitals are committing themselves to making great money off of doing transgender surgeries and treatments on kids, when you've got all these things happening, it's almost as if there is a predatory need by some in our society to find the most defenseless among us and make them their own. I saw something this weekend that just ticked me off to the point that I'm glad I wasn't face-to-face with the person. But our good friend Amy Minton, who does a lot with Moms for Liberty and is on the state library board battling the issues of you know, unseemly things being in the kids' sections of libraries, Amy Minton posted on social media about being down on our state capitol steps for a prayer gathering this past weekend. Moms for Liberty was down there, and they were having a prayer gathering, and she literally said on it that it was, you know, praying for our kids. And then somebody who calls himself a gay atheist came back in response and said, just so you know, we're coming for your kids. In my view, you come for the kids, you reach out, you might draw back a nub. And that's as it should be. The very idea that someone would feel like they had the brass, even if they have no ability to follow through on it, even if they're sitting in their mommy's basement typing away on their keyboard with some keyboard courage, and they want to say something like, we're coming for your kids. How sick are you? But those people are out there. Listen, there's an old saying that politics flows downstream from culture, and a lot of times that's true. But sometimes, in my opinion, politics has to, you know, dam the stream, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah, culture flows, and politics sometimes flows with it, but there are times when politics has to get involved and work to pass things that are designed to sort of dam up the flow of some of the cultural aspects that don't need to be there. We can't just say yes to everything. Don't come at me with your libertarian mind. I lean libertarian on a lot of issues, but I am not so libertarian that I would ever believe that someone should be allowed to have relations with a child, or someone should be allowed to be a predator of a child, or someone should be allowed to dupe a child out of their, you know, their inheritance, or anything else for that matter. Kids need to be protected. I say do it for the kids. I'll kick off with this. Last year, Governor Ron DeSantis, he passed a package of bills. I say he passed. He signed into law once his legislature, who he works with apparently quite well. I mean, I have not seen much out of Governor Ivey lately. Have you? I understand she's still there. And I know her personally, and I've always liked her. But what I don't see right now is leadership, except to chime in once in a while and say she supports gambling, you know, or y'all, we got to pass that economic development bill. And then, you know, she was forthcoming on the issues related to the library. She got rid of some people and made some changes. And I'm glad. But what I love seeing down in Florida is Ron DeSantis and his legislature acting together. And I'm going to tell you when we get back from this break about a thing they passed called the Let's Be Kids Bill Package. Let's Be Kids Bill Package. What a novel concept. They looked at it and said, let's pass some stuff that protects children and just lets kids be kids. Oh, yeah. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. Hey, we're in number one of the Triple Dipper, calling it For the Kids. And don't forget, too, by the way, coming up after the top of the hour break, we'll have a guest in studio with us. Malia Stevens is going to be here to talk to us about some amazing opportunities we have right now in Alabama to do something simpler than you would imagine about, you know, protecting kids from the harmful effects of pornography, which, by the way, you may not be just dropping in front of them, but if you don't block the access, guess what? You may be dropping in front of them. Governor Ron DeSantis, I started to say during the last break, Governor Ron DeSantis passed in the legislature in Florida, passed some sweeping legislation last year. They called it the Let's Be Kids Bill. Is a whole package. I say the Let's See Kids Bill package. It was a whole package of bills put together to protect Florida's children. I got a piece here from his website, floridagov.com, that says they did all this to prevent, you know, permanent mutilating surgical procedures, gender identity politics in schools, attending sexually explicit adult performances. I mean, they just took a big stick to the issues that we're seeing right now in our culture. They went ahead and just whacked at it one time. Governor DeSantis himself said, as the world goes mad, Florida represents a refuge of sanity and a citadel of normalcy. Love that. He has a great, I don't know who writes his speeches. Maybe he does it himself. You know, Ronald Reagan used to write his own speeches. But anyway, his commissioner of education said, today's action make it clear educators in Florida are expected to teach our standards and not to interject their own opinions or worldviews into the classroom. His secretary of health care for the state of Florida said, Florida is following the science to elevate our standards of care to protect kids from harmful drugs and from surgeries. Listen, that package of bills signaled to the world that, yes, while politics may sometimes flow downstream from culture, that sometimes politics is designed to also dam the flow and to stop some of the cultural aspects we see, especially when they hurt our kids. These are the most precious commodity we have, are our children. Now, the National Center on Sexual Exploitation, of which our guest, Malia Stevens, is a member of their board of advisors, but the National Center on Sexual Exploitation is working right now in D.C. I've got a piece off of their website to pass something called, at the federal level, called the Kids Online Safety Act to curb the what they call the rampant harms happening to our children on platforms like Roblox, Instagram, Discord, and others. There are algorithm-based, you know, there are social media platforms that have algorithm-based platforms with any number of ways to addict kids. And then they see things that happen in the middle of it, like the fact that you've got sexually explicit content and predatory behaviors mixed into those platforms. And once they find the way of hooking kids in, too often they don't do anything to try and filter kids away. And some of it is just so easy to protect. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. In fact, the same people that built the tech, so to speak, that makes that platform work, they know how to fix it. They do. And it's not hard. Now, Alabama's got some things in the works right now. We're going to talk about that in great detail. But I'll tell you this, we're not the only ones. State by state, we're starting to see things happen. Here's a piece from last month in Texas. Apparently, Pornhub decided it was just going to pull out of Texas altogether. They can do that. They can do that. They can tell when the unique ISPs that you run your internet off of in a state, they can tell where they are. They can at their own location, if they want to, turn off access. It's not hard. State by state can actually block certain access. That's why we don't have online gaming, per se, here in the state of Alabama right now. Well, Pornhub decided to pull out of Texas. Why? Because Texas simply said, we're going to have age verification to use that platform. You've got to say that you're of the age of majority capable of accessing that as an adult, as opposed to not an adult. Pornhub said, yeah, we're not doing that. We're out of here. Listen, pornographic sites are often not based in the United States too. So sometimes you have to do things that actually put some teeth into it to make them understand that if we catch you, if you're doing this to our kids and we catch you, it's going to happen. But then I'll also point out that some of what they do around these different states is to pass legislation that deals not just with filters, not just with age verification, but with actually making access to existing safeguards easier to work with. Now, why would that be hard? Well, Phil, you're asking them to spend great money and you're violating First Amendments. And no, actually, we're not. We're going to talk here in a few minutes about something that we mentioned on the show last year, but this year it's up again, and it's currently passed its way through the Alabama House, and it's moving through the Alabama Senate, and we have about one legislative week left to work with, and we need it to pass. And all it effectively says, and I'm going to oversimplify it, is that apparently every smart device you buy, your phones and all of it, already have built-in filters. They're already there. They're there from the factory. They're also sometimes layered so deep you can't hardly find them. And all we're looking at is a law that is already being worked on in other states as well that simply says when you buy one of those in Alabama, that filter will be activated. And the parent can be given the ability to turn it back off if they want to. So that you don't wind up having a child walking around with a device in their pocket that has access to every imaginable adult site known to man. It's not hard, and it's worth doing because these are our kids. And I mean, I'm just telling you right now, any society that cannot protect its most precious, any society that cannot look at its children and decide that there is a need for the defenseless to be defended is a society that will fall. And you can look back through society, you can look back through biblical era, you can read the Old Testament, you can find the ones that offered up their children. And I used to find myself thinking, how does a society get so depraved it offers up its children? And now I look at some of the things that are happening here. I'm just telling you, folks, it's worth doing, and it's not rocket science, and I'm pretty sure we better do it. Coming up next, Malia Stevens from Wellspring Christian Clinic is going to be here to talk to us, and she's also, by the way, a national advocate working on legislation right this very minute that I think all of you are going to be fascinated by. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on a beautiful Monday afternoon. Listen, we're in dipper number one. I'm telling this for the kids. What better thing to do something for than for the kids? And I was, somebody that I met a while back who happens to be the niece of a good friend of mine, which I didn't even realize at first when you and I first met, I believe. But Malia Stevens is here. She's been on the show once before. We've also interacted here, there, and the other on like gatherings about the same topic we're about to be on now. But Malia Stevens is a licensed counselor with Wellspring Christian Clinic in Birmingham. She's got her BA in Development and Family Studies from Sanford. She also has a Master's in Marriage and Family Therapy from Abilene Christian. And she has an amazing practice, but she's also on the national level even. She's on the board of the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. They call themselves NACOSI, which is a whole lot easier to say. Welcome to the Right Side Studio, Malia.
Thank you so much, Phil. It's a joy to be with you.
I think last time you were on the show, you called in, which was...
I did. Yeah. We were juggling a lot at that time, so I couldn't quite make it to Gadsden. But well, this is more fun.
You're an absolute Right Side ruffian, so you're having a T-shirt before you leave here,
all
okay?
Right. All right.
Yay. Good deal.
I'll wear it.
Well, so listen, the stuff that I'm talking about right now, I said earlier, and we'll talk about legislation in a minute, but I said earlier that sometimes they say politics flows downstream from culture. But I believe that sometimes politics also has to dam the tide. And this is one of them. If you don't mind, just for a minute, talk about why you do what you do and give us some stats or figures about the things that make you do what you do.
Sure, certainly. So as you mentioned, I'm a marriage and family therapist. And since I was very young, I knew I cared about families and I wanted to see families strengthened. And I've always had a heart for that and for marriages. And as I got into that field over the years, like even as in grad school, one of the issues that was presented to me very early on working with couples and with individuals was pornography and its impact to individuals and families. It just seemed to be a theme that I kept hearing, you know, having to confront. And then As I got into private practice, really between the years of 2009 to 2011, families brought in young children to me who were addicted to pornography, boys and girls ages 6 to 11. And that was extremely alarming to me. And these kids were acting out compulsively after exposure to pornography, after one or two exposures. And I was just seeing how highly addictive it was and how it was so damaging to the children. And then also at the same time, I was working with survivors of sex trafficking, a man and two women. And two of those individuals had been forced to create pornography against their will. And so my mind was opening up to the intersectionality of all forms of sexual exploitation, started doing research, and was just so in shock and concern for families, and realizing we've really got to raise awareness for parents and help them get equipped to stand in the gap for their kids and stop this before these kids have their future hijacked by pornography, because that's what was happening.
I used to work as part of my really kind of weird and somewhat schizophrenic resume. I used to work for several years in an adolescent treatment center.
Oh, wow.
And I can't say that we dealt with kids per se on the basis of addiction to pornography, but we saw addictive behaviors. But we also saw a lot of kids, though, who had been sexually abused, because most of the time we had comorbidities in their analysis, and it would be something that you maybe seeing them because of a drug addiction or a behavioral problem, but you found all the, and I can't tell you how many of them had an underlying abuse or an underlying misuse, if you will, by making them the subjects of something.
Exactly.
But people also don't realize to the extent that pornography can affect the mind.
Exactly.
It desensitizes.
It does. It actually affects the structure of the brain. It affects the pleasure pathway, just like an illicit drug, like heroin. It's compared to heroin oftentimes, or cocaine. And the way that you look at brain studies, it looks very similar in terms of the impact. And it creates this craving, this appetite that is never satisfied. It creates this escalation in behavior, and then it tends to shape people's sexual template so that they crave more depraved fetish type behavior oftentimes. And it's a lot of times people come into my office, females, for example, will come in and they'll say, I don't know why I want to do this type of behavior. And they'll be crying. And they're like, I have this craving to do certain behavior that's really disgusting to me. But when you trace it back, it usually starts oftentimes with pornography, sometimes with sexual abuse, or a combination of the two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's an amazing amount of stuff available to kids now. I mean, I'm a granddad now, and I can just picture my beautiful grandkids, and I feel like, whereas I grew up in a world and I had problems as a kid, and I know I did. I mean, I was the one I was challenging for my parents. Let's put it that way. And there are times when I know that that God saved me because it was a good thing He did, or who knows telling where I'd be.
Right.
I actually, my mom sent me to live with my dad who was overseas. Mm-hmm. I like to say God gave me a 3-year timeout because it's what I needed.
That's good.
But that being said, I feel like there's so much more that's readily in the faces of our kids than it ever was when I was growing up.
They're completely being bombarded at every level. Like we talk about the Chromebooks, for example, that are issued to kids, the school issued Chromebooks. Our organization, National Center on Sexual Exploitation, had to fight for years to just get Google to filter Chromebooks that are school issued. So all these kids were being handed these devices that were not filtered. Parents didn't realize it. Schools didn't know what to do. And then you have this massive amount of trouble that came up as a result. And just common sense things like that, where kids are being bombarded, even on school issued Chromebooks or at the library, everywhere you turn. It's an overwhelming job for parents.
Well, it is. I mean, parents bear some responsibility to do what they can to safeguard, obviously. But I think, and I don't want to do the whole, it takes a village thing. I'm not doing that. But what I am saying, though, is that as a former legislator myself, I know there were times we had to pass laws to provide protections for those who couldn't necessarily be protected on their own or without the aid of us in the legislature. Mm-hmm. And so right now, I know that there's things happening on both the national and the state level. Alabama is just one of a number of states taking action on some things you and I will talk about. But we got to. I mean,
what's
amazing to me is how much the big tech porn platforms resist it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they fight it tooth and nail because they really don't want to give up that profit target, which is our children. And
profit target. Wow.
Yeah, it's a profit target, and they know if they can get kids hooked early, they're going to make more money off of them. That's really what it boils down to. And they admit it in some of these undercover investigations that have been done recently. They admit that that's really the bottom line, is just money. And, you know, Alabama was the 16th state in 2020 to pass a resolution declaring pornography a public health crisis. Yeah. So as you're saying, you know, we've acknowledged that our government has to get involved. This is beyond what an individual can do to protect themselves. Like, we have to step in and make sure our obscenity laws are being upheld to protect all of our citizens, but especially our children.
I wrote an op-ed based off of a monologue I had done a couple of weeks ago that came out just this morning. And it's called Joe Camel and the Drag Queens.
Oh, wow.
But I don't know if you remember this or not, but like in my lifetime, I have watched Congress get involved and the Federal Trade Commission get involved simply because a cigarette brand had a cartoon character that made cigarettes look popular and cool to kids. Mm-hmm. And they found in their own internal memos during the discovery phase of the lawsuits that, oh, by the way, they actually had targeted kids because they were a profit target.
Right.
And so everything changed and the laws were changed and the legislative process and the regulatory aspects of the federal government came down hard on R.J. Reynolds Tobacco and Joe Camel went away. Wow. And yet today there is, I almost wish that Joe Camel was the only problem we had right now.
Oh, wouldn't it be simple?
It would be far simpler. You got stuff right now. I know NICOSI, if you don't mind, talk about who NICOSI is before we go to the break.
For sure. It stands for the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. We've been around since the 60s, actually, fighting pornography. And it was started with a commission, and it was very involved in things during the Reagan and Bush administration as well. But we rebranded ourselves. We used to be called Morality and Media, but we've been National Center on Sexual Exploitation in recent years because we are at the tip of the spear of fighting all forms of sexual exploitation globally. We are a big coalition of people from all over the world, from the right and left, who care about issues of sexual exploitation, from pornography to sex trafficking and everything in between. So we'd love for people to learn more if they want to go to insexualexploitation.org.
Insexualexploitation.org. Okay. Listen, we're going to come back from this break here. We're already there, believe it or not.
Okay.
That was fast. We're going to come back from this break and talk about something that's currently going through the legislative process in Alabama that seems like way too simple. Why don't we already do it?
Exactly.
All right. We're in studio right now with Malia Stevens from Wellspring Christian Clinic, who, by the way, is a national advocate on the topics at hand. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Well, we're right back in studio right now with Malia Stevens from the Wellspring Christian Clinic, and she's also, by the way, on the national board of NICOSI, which stands for the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. So there's, first of all, let me just say this. Smartphones and Chromebooks, have mercy at the Pandora's box each one of those contains. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget, so my daughter, who's grown now, my daughter, who's in her early 30s, years ago, had to do her like her annual report on some big aspect of politics. She chose to do it on the White House.
Oh, no.
Oh, you know exactly where I'm going.
Oh, yeah. She went to whitehouse.org or .gov or something, which is a porn site.
Yeah, .gov is the correct one. And she just did .com, I think, and had no idea. Mm-hmm. Shocked her, upset her. And it's because, they will not only, they'll not only embed themselves in places and lure kids in, sometimes they'll do things knowing full well what the search engine is going to create.
Mm-hmm.
And so my daughter literally went to a porn site thinking she was going to our national capital, the White House.
Mm-hmm. It's despicable, isn't it?
Yeah.
They do that with like Disney or Nickelodeon. If you misspelled those, you know, children don't know how to spell that when they're little. So they'll look up Nickelodeon and any misspelling would take you to a hardcore porn site.
God.
Things like that. And they'll splice pornographic cartoons in the middle of kids' cartoons on kids' YouTube. They'll take Disney characters and turn them into graphic pornography. They know exactly what they're doing to target children and to strip their innocence, you know?
Well, yeah. Makes vigilantism look pretty good, to be honest.
Fortunately, we have better means to go after him. Yeah.
Okay. So you say, well, one of those better means, though, is House Bill 167. Mm-hmm. So right now, everybody in the world carries a smart device. I mean, I've got mine sitting right here on the desk. And yet most people have no idea. I didn't until the first time you and I talked about this, mm-hmm. that there is actually a from the factory means of filtering that stuff out.
Exactly.
And yet parents don't even know it's there. So talk about House Bill 167 and what it does.
Yeah, for sure. It's called the Alabama Children's Device Protection Bill. And it's our main sponsor is Representative Chris Sells. He's worked really hard on this issue for several years. Yeah, he really cares about protecting kids in this area. And in the Senate, we have Senator Clyde Chambliss.
Also a good guy.
Yes, absolutely. And we're super excited about this bill because, you know, you hear the words no-brainer all the time. But if it could be a no-brainer bill, this would be it because we know that children are 47% of the time young children are exposed to pornography accidentally. They stumble on it on a smartphone or a tablet, but smartphones and tablets already have filtering software on or in the device itself. So all we're doing with this bill is requiring manufacturers, which there's just three companies, Amazon, Google, and Apple, to do a software update and turn on the existing filters so that children are automatically protected from hardcore, violent, degrading content online. And it's a simple software update, and it would be statewide on any device issued to minors in the state of Alabama once it goes into effect. Adults can turn the filters off if they want to with a password, but children would be automatically, you know, have that layer of protection. And it's got a lot of support, bipartisan support. It passed 98-0 in the House a couple of weeks ago. We know we'll have good bipartisan support in the Senate if we can just get it moving in the Senate.
98-0.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to point out that there's only 105 members of the House. So all but seven voted mm-hmm. and it passed 98-0. That means it was completely bipartisan, like unabashedly bipartisan.
Mm-hmm.
You could pass a bill that says, "Do you love your mama?" And it would not have gotten 98-0.
Exactly. It was beautiful. And we had 63 bipartisan co-sponsors as well.
You're not only in the no-brainer category in terms of what it does, but you're in no-brainer in terms of politics.
You would think so, but we do have some opposition. We have to fight big tech, the porn industry. They lobby against us and come behind other organizations sometimes. And we often have telecommunications companies showing up at the hearings fighting us, but our bill explicitly states that telecommunications companies are not held liable. This has zero to do with AT&T, Verizon, retail shops, things like that. But for whatever reason, we see them at our hearings.
And what boggles my mind is they'll talk about it being oppressive to their industry, and they'll talk about it somehow violating a First Amendment right of some type. And they'll look for ways to argue that you're unconstitutional in the presentation. Mm-hmm. But this one has already met muster in terms of its constitutionality.
It's got Supreme Court backing. There's been two rulings that said from the Supreme Court, if you're going to protect kids, you should do it at the filtering level. Those are two very strong rulings. So we know it's going to stand up in court. We know it's got that kind of backing. And that's one reason they really fight us so hard is because they know they can't overturn it once it gets passed and becomes law.
But, you know, it goes back to what it really boils down to is those kids are, what'd you call them earlier?
A profit target.
A profit target.
And a data target, too. They don't want to give up the data that they could collect as well. But, yeah, they're a profit target.
So it's right now, House Bill 167 is already passed the House. It's been transmitted to the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
It's been assigned to Senator Fred. Garland Gudger's committee mm-hmm. on FRED, which I founded FRED. I used to be the chairman of FRED.
That's so cool.
FRED stands for Fiscal Responsibility and Economic Development. So you're now in FRED. It's awaiting committee action right now?
We will hopefully have a hearing next week is what they're saying.
Whew, we're getting close.
We're getting really close. We need it to happen quick.
This is all right. I hope all y'all are listening. And I know I've got a bunch of right side ruffians out there who don't mind calling your legislator. For that matter, call other legislators. It doesn't matter whether you live in their district. But right now, Senator Garland Gudger needs to get that thing on his agenda. And by the way, that's this listening area. Coleman, we blanket Coleman. We have a lot of Coleman listeners.
Oh, yeah, that would be wonderful.
And so absolutely call Senator Gudger's office and let him know.
And also President Pro Tem Reed, if they wouldn't
from
mind.
Jasper.
From Jasper as well. That would be wonderful to have that he would know that the constituents really want to see this passed. I speak all over the state. Parents, grandparents, everybody from the right and left really want to see this happen. And I think we need to let them know that we do care about it, and we care about it more than the lobbyists do.
Yeah. Well, there's some of that great classic rock music you told us you liked coming on.
I
love
it.
means we're going to take a break right now. We're in studio right now with Malia Stevens from the Wellspring Christian Clinic and the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. Common sense, man, it's no-brainers. Take care of our kids. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the world. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, we're back right now in studio with Malia Stevens from the Wellspring Christian Clinic and also with the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. I got to ask you a question.
Okay.
In fact, I'll precede the question with a quick story. So, a good friend of mine, Emily Jones, who heads up Moms for Liberty in Madison, she came on the show talking about how she had discovered some things on her child's Chromebook, and it was her child's school-issued Chromebook. It was an app of some type, and I've forgotten the name of it now. It'll come back to me later, but she said that she had begun doing some research about what this app's capabilities were.
Mm-hmm.
And it bothered her to think that it might have access, and she thought, surely not. Well, lo and behold, she used her child's app on her child's school-issued Chromebook and went to places that she didn't ever want her child to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the crazy thing was, what she also told me too, was this app is designed to only be allowed to have access during school hours.
Ooh.
So in other words, parents aren't normally going to be able to even see it, but it was a day when her child had to stay home, and so she got in.
Wow.
And so she just recently made it known to the school superintendent, who, after he reviewed it, said, we're done with that. And so, to his credit, he said that they had canceled the contract with the progenitors of that app.
Wow, you have to admire that superintendent and that mom.
And that mom.
Absolutely. We see that a lot. You know, we have this thing called the Dirty Dozen.
Yeah.
Every year we name and shame the 12 main promoters of sexual
name
exploitation.
Name and shame them.
Yeah, and it's pretty powerful. We've changed a lot of corporate structure. And several years, we had EBSCO, of all things, because they had school-based databases that were library databases. And they had one that was for kids and one that was for parents. And parents couldn't access the one to kids. And early on, when you would go to seventh grade database and you typed in biology, it took you straight to hardcore BDSM porn.
Oh, my gosh.
Stuff like that. It was rife with hardcore porn throughout the database. And it was supposed to, and it said on their website, age-appropriate material, which it was not. And so anyway, I can understand how alarmed she was. And I'm so glad she took up that issue and addressed it.
Well, let's talk about parents then for a minute, because mm-hmm. I do agree with your legislation. And I think we need to see HB 167 pass.
Right.
Absolutely. It's a no-brainer. But then parents, that mom checking the Chromebook, that's one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could see parents needing to check these devices. You have no idea.
Right.
You can also check your child's search history on their own devices.
Mm-hmm.
And there shouldn't be a household in which a child is allowed to say, you can't have access to my phone.
Exactly. No. That's not a boundary that's acceptable.
No. No. I like the way you put the clinical expressions upon it. I'm just going to say it's darn wrong.
It is wrong.
But you've got other resources, and I know you talked about some books that you've been a real proponent of. Tell me about those.
Yeah, I've got some of my favorite resources that I tell parents about. There's a great book called Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, and it helps inoculate your child from the inside out. And it's a read-along book. They've got a junior version for 0 to 6 and then a book for 7 to 12 years old. And it really helps your kids understand what pornography is going to be when they're exposed to it, because we say it's not if they're exposed, it's when. So they have like a plan of action, and it really helps not only address pornography but other addictions. And parents are always scared to read it, but once they read it for themselves, they're like, oh no, this is actually really safe, it's appropriate. And it has been so effective with kids for them to immediately say, that's inappropriate material, I don't want that in my brain. And then they feel comfortable talking to adults, and it opens up lines of communication. So I highly recommend Good Pictures, Bad Pictures. It's at defendyoungminds.org. Then there's a great resource if parents need tech support, knowing how to really protect their family based on what their needs are, called protectyoungeyes.org.
Yes.
And you had Chris McKenna,
that
founder, on your show. He's fabulous, and they have excellent advice on how to set up everything for pretty much every device you can think of on his website, protectyoungeyes.org. And then lastly, if you have a kid that's 12 to 22 or 24, there's a group called Fight the New Drug that makes it really cool to be a fighter against pornography and sexual exploitation. And they have fabulous resources to help educate your teens and also to help them if they have been exposed to pornography and they've developed some compulsive behavior. It's a good resource. They've got Fortify, which is an online recovery group. But if your child has been exposed and you need help as well, don't be afraid to reach out and get support from a mental health professional that understands sexual addiction.
Yeah, and it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's awkward. Let's just be honest. It's a topic that I don't even want to read out your bio on the air because it's awkward just to say, but because you've got an amazing bio, and the things you're able to do with families go way beyond what we're talking about even right now. But that being said, I've often said that it is absolutely worth having 5 minutes of discomfort to save you 5 years of pain. And this is the kind of thing that you can talk to your kids about in advance and no telling what you might be able to help forestall.
Yeah. And in fact, you know, there's this phenomenon right now with young men who go, they do okay in high school, they go off to college, and then they start to either fail out of class or not even go to class. And the parents are concerned what's happening. They can't figure it out. Well, there's been studies about young men who are getting addicted to pornography in college, and then they lose motivation, they lose focus, and they get really depressed. And so oftentimes, though, when the parents finally go to their son and say, "Son, is it this? Are you struggling with pornography addiction?" They're so relieved that someone actually asked them and that they're helping pull them out of that darkness. Mm. So I do encourage parents of any, you know, with kids of any age, it is uncomfortable. But even if your kid is in denial or frustrated, just planting the seed very lovingly, non-shaming, like don't shame them, but because it's a common struggle right now and we're being bombarded with it. But just to let them know you love them, you support them, you'll walk alongside them in recovery and healing. Even if you struggle with it yourself, that does not negate you from being a resource and getting help for yourself and for them.
Well, let's talk about a few of those resources again to make sure the audience heard it. ProtectYoungEyes.org.
Uh-huh.
Is that right? ProtectYoungEyes.org. And then the book you mentioned was Good Pictures, Bad Pictures.
Yes.
And you said that's one they can actually read to their children?
Yeah, you read along with your child.
Oh, wow.
And it's got a section for if the dad wants to participate too. There's actually a chapter just for dad. Mom can read all of it or whatever, whoever wants to. But it's really well done and tactful and it's beautiful because it does open up lines of communication.
Wow. Okay. And I think you said something a moment ago too that we need to recognize. It's not if your child's going to be exposed to this stuff, it's when.
Exactly.
And I don't want to even minimize the times of in my era. It's a lot like you found, you know, the Playboy magazine that someone left out in the trash can behind the diner. You know, it's not mm-hmm. we're so far past that.
Right.
This stuff is pounding kids right now. Yeah. Literally just piling on, and it's available just by the device they carry in their pocket.
Yeah, it's really stealing their childhood. It's affecting their development, and it's not fair. It's not fair to them to lose their innocence in their childhood and to have their childhood harmed in this way. We consider exposing a child to pornography as tantamount to child sexual abuse
yeah.
because of how it affects the brain and how it affects their behavior. And, you know, it is illegal in Alabama to expose a child to
yeah.
pornography, but we're doing that all the time.
Well, and I think you just said something, too, that I think the audience needs to hear. You know, sometimes we hear about this stuff and we think, San Francisco, or that other place somewhere else, or what they do in that big city. So you practice right here in Birmingham. You have a thriving daily practice, am I right?
Yes, I do. And we have kids from really solid families. It's not like, I mean, these kids are not neglected. They're very involved parents that the kids are being harmed.
Well, all right. No brainer. Mm-hmm. HB 167, House Bill 167. The House has already done its gig.
Mm-hmm.
And it has now gone on to the Senate.
Yes.
And we need that thing to pass.
We really do.
And I look at this as it's one of those things that every once in a while legislation comes along and you have to ask why. Why are we doing this? Why? This is one of those you ask why not.
Mm-hmm.
And people, I think you get to the point sometimes where you realize that God opens doors and venues and makes available opportunities. And part of the prayer for me has become sometimes, why would I not? Because look, it's right there.
Right.
And that's the way I see HB 167. If I were still in the Senate, I'd be dying for this bill to get on the floor.
It's low-hanging fruit.
It's absolutely low-hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have an amazing job, and you do a lot of work, and this will be the second time you've been on this show. I suspect it's not the last.
Well, I hope not. This is so much fun. It really is, and we appreciate your support and help on all these important topics.
No, I appreciate it, and hopefully next time we talk, it'll be because the bill passed.
Amen.
All right. All right, you're listening to Malia Stevens, who is at Wellspring Christian Clinic. And let me just say, too, if you're out there and this is a topic that's awkward for you, but you know your family's dealing with it, you are not alone in this. And there are people like Malia who are trained and ready and available. And am I right in saying, too, that you can even insurance will cover the counseling and things a lot of times?
A lot of times it will. Our clinic is not insurance-based, but we do provide, you know, super bills. But there are many clinics that are, and there are a lot of certified sex addiction therapists around Birmingham because there's a big demand for that. And so if you look up CSAT, there's that. There's a lot of Christian clinics around Birmingham. There's fabulous resources. And, you know, if people want to call Wellspring, we can help get you connected with someone as well.
Yeah, Wellspring Christian Clinic is right there in Birmingham, and that's where Malia is. All right, you're an amazing person. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you so much, Phil.
All right, well, blessings on you, and I look forward to hearing about HB 167. Everybody needs to call Senator Garland Gudger's office and get that bill on the next available agenda. And by the way, when you do, ask him if there's a public hearing to have a vote on the same day as the hearing. Don't do this, well, we're going to have a hearing this week, and maybe next week we'll actually vote on it, and then the next week we'll actually get it on the floor, because y'all, they're about out of time. They're literally out of time. Don't let it be one of those bills that just died because, oh, I don't know, we couldn't get around to it in time. Time. It's a precious commodity, too. All right, we're taking a break right now. Big Rig, take us to it, brother. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams. Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, that Malia Stevens has some common sense. Goodness. That woman has superpowers. And she so delicately and yet affirmatively stated the things that she's working on. And it was amazing. We even had some discussions in the studio, you know, offline about, you know, our kids and grandkids and what it's like. I'm glad there are people out there doing what she's doing.
Yeah, same.
But I think it
takes good work.
She's doing good work. And I think it's incumbent upon us, though, as parents and grandparents, to not sit idly by and wait for somebody else to do it, though.
Yeah, true.
You're going home to check the filters on the iPad, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I have to do that every day. Check all the YouTubes and computers and laptops and all that.
And it's crazy. It's almost like having those devices is such an ubiquitous part of everyday life now. And yet, it's like a portal into our house. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm the guy who, like, puts a piece of tape over the camera, you know, on my home computer or something, if I don't have a cover for it already.
Even if the camera's unplugged and everything, still.
Yeah. you just, I've been more than once, like, you know, I'll be somewhere and I look over my phone and sit there and I'll turn it upside down just because.
Yeah.
Hey, a couple of quick text messages. Let's see what we got here. Just a few in the queue right now. Thomas from Athens says, regarding age of consent, look at the liberal Canadians' history of what it allowed for 12 to 13-year-olds for mutual experimentation. Oh, wow. And raising other factors from 14 to only 16. Even teenagers' brains are not fully capable of making great decisions unless properly guided, e.g. the military or fully engaged parents and guardians. Actual full brain development is not until like age 25 or 26. I can tell you.
I agree with that. I think 25, 26. Before 25, 26, I think I was pretty brain dead.
Well, you know what's funny? I look at that and I agree with that.
Yeah.
And yet I also know that I was married at 21. I was a daddy by 23.
But you were early 20s. You're getting there.
I was ahead of my time.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Duff from Huntsville. What do we got here? He's changing topics on him, so I'll come right back to it. And then Brian from Decatur says, it appears we do not have very strict laws against pedophilia. There seems to be a lot of it going around disguised as grooming. However, nothing seems to be done about it except for exposing it, and then what? No, man, there are actions being taken. Some of that is being taken. By the way, some of it is laws that are being ignored or are difficult to enforce. Others are laws that don't have stiff enough penalties. Like you make something a misdemeanor, maybe it's time to make it a felony because the misdemeanor didn't scare them. But then on top of that, you've also got the fact that state by state, you're beginning to see more and more people starting to take action. Like, for instance, we have certain bills in our state legislature right now, right this very minute. Aside from the one we just talked about, HB 167, I think it's HB 130, House Bill 130 by Representative Mac Butler. We've also got, I think it's House Bill 385, which is, I believe, being carried by Arnold, Representative Arnold Mooney. And those bills right there are designed to keep, sexually explicit shows and presentations and library issues and all that. It's designed to help clean up a lot of that stuff. And we need that. And at some point you look at, okay, I get it. It is difficult to legislate morality, but we can criminalize immorality. How about that? And I don't mean like we should become so punitive that people can't have, you know, a personal life. That's not what I'm saying. But if minors are already protected under the law in a variety of capacities, then it doesn't make any, never mind to me, to discontinue those protections and say, oh, by the way, if you can't do that and you can't do that, then by golly, you with the iPad over there, that's not going to happen either. This is just too easy. All right, we're going to switch gears now. Don't forget, coming up after the top of the hour break, we'll be going into the Stand with Israel dipper number two for the day. Major General Joe Arbuckle is going to be calling in. General Arbuckle had an amazing career and is going to be on the air with us once again to provide some support and insights from a strategic level planner as to, you know, what has happened this past weekend with Iran and Israel. If you heard my monologue, and by the way, if you didn't hear it, I want to encourage you to consider going and getting it on the podcast, because the monologue, this title of it today is being on the wrong side of history. We do not want to be on the wrong side of history of this. And yet the Biden administration is so intent upon, you know, splitting the baby on everything, on literally straddling the fence, doing all it can to, I don't want to anger those Islamic radicals in you know, Dearborn, Michigan. They might not vote for me. How about this? Do what's right. Ronald Reagan, one of my favorite quotes, and I actually used to quote this to people in Montgomery who would take issue with some of my stances. Ronald Reagan one time was, I don't even know what the topic was, but he was doing something. I think it was Caspar Weinberger who said to him, "Mr. President, that may be political suicide." And he said, "I didn't get elected to get reelected. Let's do the right thing." What a great attitude. Would that every politician had that same attitude. I didn't get elected to get reelected. Let's do the right thing. That being said, what's going on with Israel right now? Mr. President, if you are that worried about some radical voters who don't care about us anyway and really don't care about you for that matter, then you're not a statesman. Let's stop and consider about doing the right thing. And the right thing is to protect our friend and ally, Israel, and to do what we can to support their efforts and to quit trying to undermine them at every turn. And it's happening right now. And oh, by the way, we just, all these peaceniks, we need a ceasefire. We need a ceasefire. Well, there's a bunch of them that were cheering in the streets this weekend in the United States about Iran trying to bombard Israel. The interesting thing is, Iran failed miserably. Look, Iran launched 185 Shahed drones, 110 medium-range ballistic missiles, and 36 land attack cruise missiles. 99% of them were shot down. But do not take that for anything other than a smack in the face to Iran, but they still tried to do it, and that's, diplomatically speaking, that's what really matters. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.